I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
A lot of annoyance going on around here, isn't there?
Annoying.
It is annoying. The Knicks have now lost 5 of the last 6. And again, I go back to our discussion right after the All-Star break and how difficult their schedule was going to be and how tight some of these games were going to be and how... You know, what is obvious to all of us is that for some reason they just can't finish. They can't finish and win a game. And there are these stretches that go on, whether it be mid-third quarter, early fourth quarter, where they just dip. And the other team just tries to run them out of the building. But they always hang around. So they do have the culture is back. I believe that the pride and the toughness and all the things that you saw in the 90s Knicks is finally back with Thibodeau. There's no question about that. But, you know, who is the finisher? Who's the guy that's going to take the last shot? Who's going to win the close game? That's what's really missing for the Knicks, if you ask me. And unfortunately, Obi Toppin has not found his game at all. He is a major, major project in the works. And I feel bad for that kid because he missed out on his last year's tournament run. He was the NCAA Player of the Year, and he just never got to finish it off. And now he gets thrust into the NBA, and it's a pandemic year, and I don't know. It just has not come together for him. He just looks like he's lost. But on the other side, you know, R.J. Barrett looks great.
He's continued to get better.
He looks great, and Julius Randle still continues to play well. But there's just that one or two things that is missing. And, you know, Thibodeau knows what it is more than I would know what it is. But, you know, to lose like to Minnesota by 2 points, to Boston by 2 points, to fight tooth and nail with Brooklyn and then to end up losing to them without the big three. I mean, it's just one frustrating loss after the next. They're close. And, you know, I don't want to sit here like it's been so bad for so long that you just want to say, okay, at least they're in every game. They're fighting their asses off. They very rarely ever get blown out. I mean, you know, the games are entertaining. The fourth quarters are entertaining, albeit the last few fourth quarters have been really, really destructive fourth quarters in a sense that you want them to win so bad. And then all of a sudden, it just doesn't happen for them. So I feel bad for them, but we knew their schedule was going to be tougher. But, you know, that's a game last night you have to win. The game against Minnesota you had to win. I mean, those are games that ultimately, you know, keep you rising in the playoffs. And now instead of rising, they're dropping. And, you know, they've lost, like I said, 5 out of their last 6. And this is not a good trend. And that's why their next game is going to be so pivotal. And somehow, some way, they've got to win. And Thibodeau, part of the culture changing is not allowing, you know, losing 5 out of the last 6.
Yeah, and I am in this tug of war with myself and my Knicks fandom. And one side is tugging, saying, hell, this is so much better than it's been. And every single night, they're competing their ass off, and he's in these games, and you never thought that this would happen this quickly with this group. And no matter how this season goes, this is a win. And look at the way that R.J. Barrett has developed. I mean, he's hitting every three he takes last night. He has been unbelievable. And Julius Randle is positive things. And then the other tug of war is, man, they should be better than even they are. You look
they're
at
close.
It.
They're close.
They're so close. There's so many of these games that they could have won at the end. And you think that how special this season, it still could be, but could have been if they had won a handful of these games at the end. So I'm going back and forth with that. And I end up more on the side of, all right, don't get too greedy too quick, because what has happened this season is borderline miraculous from where they came from just a season ago.
So from our perspective, what we see is we see a marked improvement in effort. We see better players. We see more determined players. We see high-character players. We see all the players that are listening to the coach. That's what we see. And for me, that's one of the biggest hurdles you have to get over, and you have to establish something that that used to be called Nick Pride. And that has been reestablished. I really feel like that. Maybe they're missing a player or two. And
they need more talent, of course.
I know, but
everybody
just,
does.
Like, remember, we were talking about the trading deadline and also the free agent signings after the buyouts and all that other stuff. And we were like, I don't really want to mess with this team. I want this team to see if they can do it themselves.
It should have been messed with.
No, I still feel like I want them to earn it themselves. I really do. I mean, I have to say, it's a likable group of guys.
Sure.
And the coach is likable. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you.
Yeah.
So it is so different from, say, 5, 6, 7 years ago. And I'm frustrated for them. I feel bad for them. I feel bad for us because, we're sitting there and we're frustrated for them and we're fans and we want them to win. But there's no question that there's definitely an improvement. And I this offseason is going to be a mammoth offseason for them again, just like last year was. And it didn't work out the way they wanted it to. And now this year they got to go back to the well again and see if they can make something happen by adding another piece to this team. And then they have to decide really ultimately what are they going to do with Julius Randle. What do you do with Julius Randle?
Well, I think that you sign him, you keep him, and you pay him at this point.
I just want to ask you an honest answer from you. And I always get an honest answer from you.
Well, sometimes I joke around when you ask me these questions.
Yes, but I really want an honest answer to you. Are you giving him a max deal?
I am, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, you said that very confidently.
No, maybe I'm not saying that I'm right about this, but from my perspective as a Knicks fan, this guy means so much to me because he has given me the feelings that I haven't had for so many years. And to see him play his ass off. Your computer's still not working?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what's
going
on here.
How many times? Eddie last week was like, they put in a couple tickets.
Hey, Al, let's go. Let's pick it up. Let's get something done around here. It's day two back. Let's go.
Did you put in a couple of tickets, Eddie, or not? What's a couple of tickets anyway?
For Boomer's computer?
Yeah.
I don't know where that stands.
Is there an IT person that still exists in this building?
IT is rarely here. The engineers are here, but they're not IT.
Why would IT rarely be here when we are here working with computers? Do you have an answer for that?
I do not.
Okay.
I mean, we're guys that have computers on our desks. Probably need an IT guy, right?
Still not working.
I mean,
3 weeks.
Thing.
And then the monitor's now gone, too.
Yeah, and now it's like... No boot device available. No boot device available.
Oh, the no boot message.
No boot message.
What does that mean?
I have no idea.
Press F5 to run onboard diagnostics. All right,
yeah,
so
let's
press
do
F5.
That.
Okay,
yeah,
so
let's diagnose.
Run a level one diagnostic.
Okay, so we got some pre-boot system assessment built diagnostics going on. Anyway, diagnosing the Knicks, again, I Julius has played himself into that contract. If you had to put him, is he a top 10 player in the NBA?
He's a top 20 player right now. He's not a top 10 player.
It's
top 20.
So they have to add a top 10 player.
I agree, yes. I think, now, how they're getting that guy, I'm not so sure.
So they got to get a point. They got to, I don't know. Quickly, it would be a lot better next year. There's
yeah.
No question about it. He's already been good this year. I mean, he's been a revelation, if you ask me. I know that R.J. Barrett has ascended to becoming maybe the most improved player in the league. I understand all that, but... Quickly is going to be a significant part of this team next year, and he's going to be a lot better because he'll understand the game a lot more and how quick the game is and how fast the players are and where you can go, what you can do. And, and his shooting, was pretty good this year, and maybe it will be even better next year. So what do the Knicks need? Do they need a point guard?
Yes,
top-end point guard?
I think they need a top-end facilitating point guard and someone who obviously can score. But someone who can get the best of what's on this roster. And quite frankly, I think part of the reason why Obi Toppin struggles a little bit is because that guy hasn't existed for him yet in the NBA. And if there is someone who is really thinking, I am floor general. I am pass first, but of course I can score, and I'm going to get the best out of make everybody better. You know, that type of guy. And that doesn't even need to be a top 10 player in the NBA, but the Knicks need that type of player. And of course, adding a top 10 player in the NBA to any roster is going to significantly change the look of it. So how they get that guy and who that guy is what I've been asking now for months.
But like at what position? Like when Mitchell Robinson is out there and, you know, again, he's missing. So, and, you know, probably not going to see him the rest of the year. And you could see the energy and everything that he was when he came back. And that's a big loss for them. That is a huge loss for them. And they were able to kind of withstand the initial throws of the first time.
Yeah.
You know, with Nerlens Noel was playing well and doing his thing on defense. And he was a rim protector, all that kind of nonsense. But when they got Mitchell back, it was like, okay, now we got depth. Now we got guys that can go, you know, right after each other and do the same thing and become the same kind of presence that you want. So that injury, that the foot injury just killed them.
Yeah, and when you ask at what position, you know, the NBA has changed so much now and there's just so much fluidity that goes on that I would think that you bring in anybody who is that type of caliber, it ends up working. It just does. Look at the Nets, for crying out loud. They just bring in talent. Doesn't matter who's playing. Doesn't matter who's sitting. It's just insanity. And you think, how's it going to work? How's it going to work with all these guys? There's only one basketball. And then all of a sudden, they do what they do.
They have three of the top 10 players in a league.
I know, but that's just an example.
James Harden has adjusted his game.
But him and Kyrie both needed the ball.
But James Harden adjusted his game. And
that's my point.
And the other point, too, is Kyrie's adjusted his game a little bit. You know, like he'll facilitate now, too, but... You know, and then you add LaMarcus Aldridge and you add Blake Griffin. You know, everybody's going to, like, they all know why they're here. They're here to try to win a championship. So it's a totally different perspective. Like, the Knicks are still trying to find their way into the playoffs, where the Nets, you know, all of this is nonsense. Like, the regular season is nothing for them.
Well, I was going to bring this up. So if the Nets go and win an NBA title this year, do we officially say that the NBA regular season is completely meaningless? Like, it's on life support right now. I think that if the Nets go and win a championship, you can officially say that the NBA regular season means absolutely nothing at all, not one bit.
Well, I think if the Lakers go on to win a championship, you can say that because they are missing their big two and, you know, they are falling in the standings. So if they have to play in the play-in series.
But these guys never play with one another, the Nets.
Yeah, I know that. But
sort of the same thing.
But there's going to be a big gap between the time Anthony Davis and LeBron come back for the Lakers. As opposed to, you know, there's always been like one of these guys out there. I think there's been only one game where they haven't had one of these guys on the court. And that game, they got blown out somewhere. I forget where it was, about four or five games ago. But now, like, it seems like there's either two of them on the court or there's at least one of them on the court. And Harden is so damn good that he can actually win games by himself.
Yeah.
I mean, he will. And see, this is the thing. Harden, during the regular season anyway, I'm not talking about the playoffs now. We'll wait until we get there. But during the regular season anyway, he will hit the game-winning shot.
So I think that there's, and if
like,
you know, do the math.
Our guys are missing the game-winning shot.
Well, they have three guys that can hit the game-winning
shot. But Harden hits the game-winning shot.
Yeah. But and you have other two guys who have won championships doing exactly that, too. You know, James Harden, for sure, in the regular season. But Irving has one of the biggest shots in the biggest shot in Cleveland sports history. It is Kyrie Irving. It's not even LeBron James. But anyway, I think that the Nets probably, let's say the big three play 15 games together in the regular season when it's all said and done, depending when James Harden comes back, if that's on the high end, 15 games together, and then they get together and just cruise through the playoffs and blow everybody out, what's the point?
Well,
just cancel the regular season.
If it's the Nets and the Lakers in the final, then I would agree with you. Because you have both teams that have been missing their star players for a significant amount of time, and both teams happen to be in the championship. You know, and then as far as the Aaron Judge thing is concerned, I mean, I've never seen a injury described like this. His left side?
Yeah, we're starting to see that type of stuff now.
It's his left side.
His left side.
Left side of what?
Well, it's going to, right here. That's you know where your left side is.
So it's a rib cage. It's a rib cage.
No, it's going to be his oblique is what it's going to be.
The oblique.
Now, I know Aaron Boone said, no, not his oblique, just soreness in his left side. Well, that will turn into an oblique. See, this is the problem. You have no choice but to be cynical when you hear this stuff, because we've gone through it so many times with the Yankees. And you have Aaron Boone talking about, well, it's a precautionary measure. We're just trying to make sure that we're getting him some rest and off his feet. And he's, you know, then he had allergies a couple days ago. It's always something. I don't believe him anymore. And with Aaron Judge, he'll be gone for 2 months. If he comes back and plays, it's a shock to me in the next week or so. It would be, because this is the same trajectory every time with the guy. Wow. And it's, you want to talk about paying someone? You know the Julius Randle conversation that you just had?
Right, yes.
Apply that same conversation to Aaron Judge, and what are you doing?
How about Gary Sanchez?
Well, that's not. That's
well, at least he's coming out. At least he's playing well. At least he's hitting a ball.
Yeah, I know. But you got a long way to go with that.
Totally down.
The long way to go with that.
I can't believe how down you are. With him.
Long way to go. Yeah, and Gleyber Torres. It's now in his head. Shortstop.
Right. So you want to go to the Met opener today?
I can't. I'm sorry.
What do you mean you can't? It's Met opener.
Yeah, I understand. It's the Met opener. I can't. I've got many appointments. I will have the game on. It was very crucial to me to get television going yesterday.
And you got it going?
And I got it going, and I'll have the game on as I have people coming in and out of the house and talking to them. Hey, do your thing over there. Bang, bang, bang. You know how it goes.
So the move went all right.
It did, yes. So there's stuff in the house now, just all in different places and in boxes, and it's overwhelming, and the dogs are really confused. I feel bad for the dogs because they're older. You know, they're in the latter stages of their life, and they're so confused. And when you have a dog for a long time, you know everything, what they're feeling and their face, and they're looking at me like, what are we doing? What happened? Why did you do this? And I'm feeling guilty about it. So I'm trying to get everything that smells like the old house in front of them, you know, trying to do all of that. But when I brought Ella, who's my bulldog with the inside out vagina, I brought her from the Bellport house to Sayville, and she sat next to me in the car, and the whole time she's just staring at me, like just blaming me. You know,
what are you doing?
I trusted you, you know? And now you're ripping me out of this home that I thought I was going to be in for the rest of my life, and you're bringing me to this foreign environment, and I'm old. And I've had this
guilt. To move, you know, yeah.
I have this guilt about it, but I'm like, I couldn't not move because of the dogs. I mean, this was an opportunity in this house, and we love it. But I'm struggling with that a little bit. I feel guilty. And their stomachs are all messed up, two of them. And I read something about this, that with a move gets them, like, upset. So they're passing gas. So the house, when people walk in, smells like dog farts. It's a strange thing. But poor Ella and Romeo. And, you know, Romeo's had all those surgeries on his leg, the little Yorkie.
Yes.
You know, and it's new floors and everything. And it's
slippery, little slippery.
Yeah, so it's like ice skating out there. He gets on the hardwood. You know, his leg's going this way. I'm like, don't pop a hit, man. Please don't. I don't have another $6,000 laying around to fix your knee. I just don't anymore. I'm sorry. Yeah, so that was the whole thing. And, like, today before I left, And I don't know, because maybe ever since Al had that dog whisperer talk to him and Whimsy.
Yeah.
So I'm having conversations with the dog. I don't know if it's working. But before I left today, you know, I got down face to face with Ella because she was up and confused. Normally when I leave the house, she's totally asleep because she's comfortable. But now she's not comfortable. She doesn't know what's going on. And I get right up to her face and I'm talking to her saying, this is where we live now. And we love you. And it's okay. And we're going to be here. And we're going to be here with you. And we're not going to leave you. Like, I'm talking to her as if she understands and can speak English.
Hey, well, maybe she does. You never know.
Is this crazy? That's what's going on. These poor dogs. I mean, Ella sneezed and farted at the same time yesterday. I'd never seen that before. She was like... Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Totally
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do this to you.
So I was going to ask Al about this yesterday, and I never got to it. But now I'll ask him this morning. So when you got home to see Whimsy, how did that go? And were you able to watch her during the show?
I looked at her at like 4:30 in the morning from here, and she was fine. She was sleeping. And then Gina took her for a walk at like 8 o'clock, and Gina sent me a lot of updated photos and videos, and all was good. Whimsy was looking for me and my car. She went to my parking spot and was looking like, what's going on here? And then, she gave me sort of a sad, dirty look this morning when I left.
I just the guilt, man.
See, you know, we talk about human mental health, but think about all the people, you know, trying to go back to work. We saw some of the people coming back here yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, some people going back to work. I know the city employees are supposedly going back to work early May 1st or whatever the date is. And all those people that have dogs at home that you've been with for 24/7 for the last 365 so days.
I know.
So now you have dog health, mental health that you have to worry about, or animals in general, whatever you have as a pet.
Right, because birds, they say even they get upset if you leave them alone. They start pulling their feathers out.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like parrots and things. Like if they're used to having you in the house and all of a sudden you go back to work, they'll start pulling feathers out of their bodies.
That bums me out, man.
This is why you get so mad at these damn politicians, man.
So am I
shutting stuff down? And then when you shut stuff down, then you open stuff back up, look what happens.
Yeah, sure. Am I doing the right thing by talking to Ella? Is that doing anything for her?
Yeah, no. Yeah, absolutely.
It is. All right. Because I was also thinking, am I wasting my time when I'm on my knees looking her in the face and talking to her? Like, is this a total waste?
Is she old enough? I mean,
she's going to be 11.
I know, but is she in good shape to go for a walk?
Oh, yeah.
Just, I think you got to take her out for a nice walk today. And yeah. It's going to be a beautiful day outside.
Yeah, get her. She loves the sun. She does. She just
right
loves,
in the
soaks
sun.
It up, and she puts her big head up. She loves soaking up the sun. So
there you go.
We'll be able to do that. One thing I just noticed about Al, I'm picking up on, when he puts that gator up, his posture changes. Like, he feels like he has to use his entire body to keep the gator on his face.
Yeah.
Did you notice this?
Yeah, no, I've noticed doing it, because otherwise it just falls right below my nose.
He walks in like a scarecrow, because he's like, I was saying, he walked in yesterday. He's like, hey, did you guys do that live read with the microphone?
It's like I'm wearing a neck brace.
I know!
Because otherwise it falls right off my nose.
So he's doing the whole thing.
So you gotta keep your head at a 45-degree angle.
Yeah, it's not healthy.
I just didn't know if you, like, pulled your back out or something, or something. I needed to know.
I feel like when Andy Kaufman was wrestling in the 70s and he would...
Jerry Lawler? Yeah.
Yeah, and he would have the neck brace on.
Yeah, and he'd walk around like... Oh, that guy was way ahead of his time.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Well, good morning, guys. We're brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And, the Orioles played the Yankees last night at the stadium. The Orioles had lost 12 straight games at the stadium, but their fortunes changed in extra innings.
Green will deal 2-1. Swung on, a pop-up to shallow left. Gardner racing in. It's going to drop. A run scores. It's a pop fly base hit for Cisco.
And it was a lead for Baltimore. 4-3 at that point. In the bottom half of the 11th, though, the Yanks had a chance to tie.
Now here's the 1-2. Swung on and line to right field to Santander. Makes the catch. Here comes Urshela. Here comes a throw home, and he is going to be out. He's out at home. Ball game over. Baltimore wins.
Yeah, and just like that. Just like that, that losing streak at Yankee Stadium comes to an end for Baltimore as they wind up winning the game 4-3. They go to 4-2 on the year. The Yankees now 3-3 on the season. A couple of things along the way in this game. You had Gio Urshela on that slide at home. Looked like he was a little banged up, so Aaron Boone asked about it afterwards.
I think he's all right. He just kind of, I think, wrenched his neck a little bit on the tag. But just with him in there, he seemed to be okay.
Wrenched his neck.
Oh, and tagged him right in the face.
Well, that too. Yeah. I mean, these things happen. Well, listen, that's what happens when you slide head first.
Yeah.
You're going to be tagged in the face. You also had, in the inning prior, Gleyber Torres with the throwing error. That certainly did not help. Here was Boone.
Just an in-between, you know, made a really tough hop over there for Jay. Just a throw that.
And that's Jay Bruce that he's referencing there.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant tough hop on the Gleyber Torres on the ground ball.
No,
that's his routine of a play.
He said he made a tough
throw. For Jay Bruce.
Yes.
All right. That I understand.
And that goes to the whole thing. Not just anybody can play first base.
Yeah.
You know, that whole argument that we had with Spank about 10 years ago. You remember that, Jerry?
Yes.
Anybody can play first base. And so I said, no, it's not easy over there.
Very difficult, actually.
Especially if you got scatterarm infielders. And,
yeah.
You know, Gleyber Torres has just got to be better, man.
And,
agreed.
Jerry, you're a baseball coach. When you see Gleyber Torres right now, I mean, is it mental? Is it mechanical?
It looks it.
I mean, I think it's in his head now. He's double pumping. He's short arming it.
That's just the biggest thing. He's thinking.
Yeah.
Can't think. Just play.
It's a problem. Yankees have an issue there at shortstop.
No doubt. As the great talk show host himself, Al Dukes, says, James Taillon, 4 2/3, 2 runs, 3 hits, 7 strikeouts, the way he looks at his first start.
I mean, really two bad pitches sum it up, but overall I thought it made more really good pitches than bad.
No Aaron Judge in this game. He's got soreness in his side.
Yeah. Sore.
By the way, the Yankees had 13 hits yesterday.
Yeah, terrible. They can't get a big hit. Stranding runners on base.
Talk about frustrating.
Yep. They'll have time to figure it out. They'll be in Tampa tomorrow. Aaron Boone with Carton and Roberts coming up later today on The Fan at 5. Speaking of not being able to hit with runners in scoring position, I present to you the Mets. They were 1-for-12 with RISP. Michael Conforto himself 0-for-4 with RISP, and they lost to the Phillies 8-2, who got to David Peterson quite early.
Payoff pitch to Hoskins. Swung on, hit high in the air to right field and deep. Back goes Conforto at the track in front of the wall. It's gone.
Oh, it's gone, and a few batters later.
Here's the 0-1. Boom, hits it high in the air to deep left center. This one might go, and it's going to go. A long 3-run homer for Alec Bohm.
And at that point, 4-0, 8-2, the final score, JT Realmuto with a 3-run homer in the fifth. And that was off of Jacob Barnes. It was the first batter he faced.
My God.
See ya. Adios.
Yeah, he just looks like a guy who's going to get lit up every time he's out there.
It is funny. Does. It's funny only from the standpoint of listening to Evan and Craig and Evan discussing the fact that, you know, Luis Rojas went to the same guys on game two. And he's like, how about Barnes?
Yeah, how about Barnes?
Well, he went to him last night.
Well, Ronnie called it, by the way, last night. He said, JT Realmuto loves to jump on the first pitch when a new guy comes out of the bullpen, loves to jump on it, and bang, he jumped on it. And you even saw the Phillies dugout. You could see players in the dugout putting a number one up going, first pitch, so everybody knew it but the Mets.
Well, maybe it was his first home run of the year.
No, I don't know.
Amazing to me about
lips.
Oh, okay.
You know they've got the scouting report. How is that not relayed to him?
Yeah, I know. Just give him a grapefruit. First pitch, fastball. Why not?
Anyhow.
Stupid.
Well, listen, today is a new day. It's an opener. It's going to be a beautiful day for the Met opener today.
Yes,
so
it is. That's,
you know,
for sure.
All things can change just in one day.
Yes. The Mets play the Marlins. First pitch on WCBS 880 at 1:05. Taijuan Walker makes the start for the Mets. And Luis Rojas will join Carton Roberts on The Fan after the game as well. Just a couple of others.
Those guys got a lot of guests.
The managers.
A lot of guests, Al.
No, they don't. Craig invented not doing guests.
Craig invented that.
No, Craig said he invented it.
No, but I'm telling you invented it.
And he's still doing it in the afternoons. No guests.
Right.
No, I don't know if you guys heard. Aaron Boone and Luis Rojas will be on with him.
Two guests.
Good for those guys.
Mm. Two guests.
Asking the probing questions that all fans want to know.
Cardinals beat the Marlins 7-0. Giants over the Padres in 10-3-2. The A's got their first win, beat the Dodgers. And then the Braves finally got on the board. They took two from the Nationals, 7-6 and 2-0. And I told Al in the warm-up show, that 2-0 game, Steven Strasburg goes 6 innings, 1 hit ball, 82 pitches, I believe it was. They take him out. They bring in a reliever. Gives up a 2-run homer.
Well, you know, Mets fans know that pain. And those are 7-inning games.
Just horrible. Yes, and they did reschedule Mets Nationals. They have a couple of doubleheaders coming for. One's a split doubleheader in June, and then another one, I forget the dates.
You know what? If I were Luis Rojas right now, I'd just figure out how I could get Jacob DeGrom and all the first doubleheaders. Like, you know, let him pitch those games and let him go 7 innings, 70 pitches. And, don't pull him
six
out of the game.
Six up downs. We still need someone to close the game
out. Oh, my God.
So stupid. last night in Brooklyn, Kevin Durant was back. He was not in the starting lineup. Didn't play in the first quarter. But
is
when
he disgusted about not starting?
Not that I'm aware of. Okay. Here's what I do know. He didn't miss.
AD ahead to Irving. Williamson nearly stole it. Kyrie keeps it. Whips across court to Durant. Steps into a three. It's good! From behind the arc of the right wing, Kevin Durant drains a three.
That is Chris Carino.
Stick
with
my
the,
hands down my...
Oh. Now, let me ask you, Jerry, in all honesty.
Yeah.
The Nets now are 36-16. Is that right?
They is.
And they haven't really played with the big three at all.
Not yet. A couple games. That's it.
So LaMarcus Aldridge had 22 points last night.
He's pretty good.
He's pretty good. It's unbelievable.
You know what I like about
him? He's going to lose a game in the playoffs.
He's a back to the basket type of
back
low
to the
post
basket
presence.
Guy. See, we need a back to the basket.
I like that. A lot of teams don't have that anymore.
Well, we
don't,
did the Knicks have that? Do we have it?
I think Julius Randle plays with his back
he
to
does.
The basket at times.
He does
absolutely.
At times. Yeah, but he does everything else. There's so much on his shoulders. He's not really just your typical
back to the basket guy. All right, so a back to the basket guy. They're not going to lose a playoff game.
Well, I don't know about that. They don't defend.
They don't have to defend.
I don't think they'd lose one in the East. I mean, maybe one or two.
I'm telling you, they are going to go undefeated in the Eastern Conference playoffs if everybody is healthy and playing.
That's a little aggressive, but
they should get to
the finals for sure. What?
They got an all-star team.
I understand, but there are good teams. I mean, you know, the Bucks still have Giannis.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's not going to be easy. The Sixers are still pretty damn good. You're going to tell me they're going to sweep the Sixers in four straight?
All right, Jerry. Over, under. Games over, under. Lost in the Eastern Conference playoffs by the Nets.
Three.
Three and a half.
I'll go two and a half.
Two and a half?
Yeah, I think that's a fair over-under.
You mean they may get bored one night or somebody might not show up for a game?
Yeah.
That could happen.
Would I expect them to sweep the first series? Of course.
Oh.
The second series, who are they playing? And then the conference finals, I'm assuming they're going to end up with the Sixers. That's tough.
You know
that's
what
not
I would
an
do?
Easy series.
I would probably just have one star play in each of the first three series and then have all three of them get together for the finals.
Listen, we're not doing this for television ratings.
I would do Kevin Durant in the first series, Kyrie in the second. Actually, you know what? I'm sorry. James Harden in the first series. We don't want to get him too crazy towards the end of the playoffs. Let's get him in the finals first.
Okay.
Harden in the first series, Kyrie in the second, Durant in the third, and then have them all come together and form Megatron in the finals and then blow out whoever makes it there.
Or they can all just be healthy and play all of them.
That would be great.
I like that better.
No, but I'm saying even if they're healthy, just hold the other two out and just get them ready for the finals.
Yeah, what are they called? Maintenance?
The point is that they're going to cruise through the Eastern Conference playoffs and probably cruise through the finals too at this point.
Well, they better because they certainly have mortgaged the future for this. They won, by the way, 139-111. Kyrie did have 24, and Durant played 19 minutes, 17 points, 5 of 5 shooting, 5 of 5 from the free throw line as well. Nets, a couple of days off. They'll play the Lakers on Saturday night. As for the Knicks, really tight game up in Boston with the Celtics. And this R.J. Barrett, I know they didn't win the game, but he was lights out last night.
Randle has it against Grant Williams, one-on-one. Randle drives, lost it, gets it back, tied up, kicks it out to Barrett. Barrett puts up a three. Bang! R.J. Barrett from downtown.
That tied the game. Mike Breen on MSG, late stages. The problem was the other way. They couldn't get a stop.
Smart to Tatum. Tatum inside. Tied up, back up top to Smart. Randle on him. Cross court to Smart. Long three-pointers up. It's good. Marcus Smart does it again.
That was Mike Breen again on MSG. Smart had a big fourth quarter. The go-ahead three, and Boston wound up winning the game 101-99. Knicks now have struggled of late. They've lost 5 of 6. They've fallen to 25-27. Boston now ahead of them at 26-26. Jaylen Brown had 32 points, 10 boards. I mentioned Smart, 14 in the fourth. He finished with 17. Here was Coach Thibs. Got to be better on D in that spot.
Obviously, you got to have to challenge the shot, and then you got to get to a body, and then you got to pursue the ball. And so finishing our defense is something that, you know, we have to get back to.
As for Barrett, 29 points, 6 of 6 from three-point range. Not bad for a guy that people said couldn't shoot from deep. He has definitely gotten better from that spot, no doubt. Hornets, Pacers, Grizzlies, Suns all win last night. The Islanders acquired Kyle Palmieri and Travis Zajac from the Devils for A.J. Greer, Mason Jobst, I'm not sure how to pronounce that. The Islanders' first-round pick in this draft and a conditional fourth-round pick in 2022. Isles, Flyers tonight. Devils taking on the Sabres, and the Rangers play the Penguins tonight. The L.A. County Sheriff's, as Tiger Woods' SUV was traveling around 85 miles an hour on a downhill stretch of road outside L.A., speed limit was 45. The SUV apparently was going 75 miles an hour when it did hit a tree. They continue to say no evidence of impairment or distracted driving.
Him living through impact at 75 miles an hour is a miracle.
Goes to show how these cars are made these days.
Wow. I mean, I had no idea that he was going that fast.
I didn't get
impact.
Well, you know, interestingly, the trucks have, or these cars have, black boxes now.
Yeah.
So that's how they're able to determine all this stuff. Man, I make sure
Crazy.
He really went. He had to fall asleep, right?
I agree. It's always sounded like that to me.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was early in the morning.
Yeah.
And he was going to meet Justin Herbert and Drew Brees to do a thing for Golf Magazine or Golf Channel.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming like he was awake and alert. Yeah, obviously had to take a shower, got in the car and went. But you know, the one thing I don't understand is like normally in a situation like that, a guy like him, it would be a driver for
him. Yeah, that's what you said from the beginning. You're still driving yourself?
Well, I mean,
you're Tiger Woods.
You like to drive, right?
I do, but I mean, I'm not Tiger Woods. I mean, and
no, you're not.
What about you, Boomer?
So I don't think I'd.
No, I like to drive too. That's the point. But I, you know, I'll take an Uber or stuff like that, or if it's if I know I'm going to have a cocktail or something, I'm definitely not driving.
Yeah, if I didn't have to drive ever again, I'd only miss it slightly, I think.
No, I like driving.
I wouldn't miss it that much.
Mm. I don't see a scenario where I would have a driver.
Really? Even if you were a billionaire?
No. Now, going out to dinner, sure. This way you don't have to worry about having a few drinks. But in day-to-day life, no, I like driving. Hmm. I would not want a driver. I like to be in control.
I'm thinking about getting like a Sprinter van and a driver.
Really? Get a satellite dish on the roof?
Sprinter van?
Yeah, with a big TV in it or something. Just
nice
that thing.
You know, nice Mercedes Sprinter.
Ripping me all over the city.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, Ford makes a really nice transit van,
yes,
too.
They do.
I saw that yesterday.
They make a great van.
Yes, I saw that in the parking lot.
And they actually will customize it for you.
This is what we're saying. Yeah, the Esiason Mobile.
Put Boomer and Gio on the side.
Oh, that'd be great. Think about that. Driving around town, you hop in there. It's just like pictures of us and TVs that are replaying the show. Like maybe the caricatures that Jay Bird drew.
Yeah, Jay Bird did a great job. So I think it would be great for our softball games when we show up.
All right, Boomer and Gio on the fan.
Masters starts today. Oh, by the way, just throw that in there.
When's tee off this morning, like 7:10 or something?
I believe the first one is 8 a.m. with Michael Thompson and Hudson Swafford.
Oh, Hudson Swafford.
Yeah, what do you think the odds are for them to win?
Did you make that name up?
No, I didn't. No, I don't make that. No, I don't do that. Oh, I did that yesterday.
Now that you did that once, I'm thinking every name I'd never heard before you're making up.
Yeah, no, I didn't make that up. And Beats by Dre has ended its relationship with Deshaun Watson because of the allegations against him. This was after we found out Nike suspended operations with Watson. There you go.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
It turned out that the guy who was driving the moving truck and was head of the crew yesterday is an FDNY guy who drives the engine in Brooklyn and around the city.
So how did they do yesterday?
Did great. It was awesome.
So you're totally happy.
Totally,
was
totally
good.
Happy. They were quick and efficient. Didn't ruin anything. Were nice. I mean, it was just, it was a great experience. I was very, very happy with it. But I got into the conversation with him. Remember we were talking about on the way to fires, if you hit a car, do you stop and leave a note
if you're the fire
truck?
Yeah.
And he said, well, you know, you try your best for it not to happen. It never happened with him. But a buddy of his hit a car, a guy was in his car, and they sideswiped him, and the guy followed him to the fire and sat out there and said, hey, you hit my car. And they were like, yeah, we got to deal with this burning building first,
you know,
before
it's kind
we get
of interesting,
to you.
Like if you are the person who is hit in this case,
yeah,
I guess that's what you do, right? You have to go follow
a fire truck,
to
an emergency. Yeah.
Just to make sure that everything is validated and you know exactly what happened. And
that's one of those things I had never thought about until you brought it up that day.
Yeah.
Never in my life have I thought about a fire truck hitting a car and then do they stop and leave a note. But
So it was like when I was doing some of the demolition the other day.
Oh, yeah.
At the house. And I found a, I saw the paneling. I took the paneling down, and then I saw the paneling behind the paneling.
Oh, no. Double paneling?
They double paneled.
Oh.
And, you know, double paneling's tough. You don't realize how difficult that is to remove from the wall because the second paneling has been up there for, 25, 35, 40 years. I don't know.
Yeah, that's grounds to cancel the whole demolition paneling.
That is what we do. We double panel. That's
double
what
we panel do. South Shore Long Islanders.
Right,
why
exactly.
not? Couple layers of panel. All right, let's go to a couple calls here. It is Jim in Sayville. First, what's going on, Jim?
Hey, what's up, Boomer and Jim? How are you?
All right, good, Jimmy. What's happening?
Not much. I'm a longtime Bay Shore boy, and Bellport, East Islip always killed us in football, but I'm in Sayville now, Gio. I want to say congratulations.
Thank you.
I want to know, Boom always says you guys are a little bougie. What are you doing to the property next door with no garage in it there, Gio?
Yeah, I know. So there has to be.
So now people know where you live.
Of course, yeah.
So, Jim, is it a big deal that Gio's moving to Sayville?
No, not at all. Listen, we're it's a blue-collar town, a bunch of workers. We got
there you go.
Cops, everyone that just works.
Yeah, but everybody kind of knows Gio's coming, though, right?
You know what? Be honest, I just found out the other day.
Yeah, but how did you find out? By us talking about it or somebody tell you about it?
No, you guys talking about it.
All right, okay. So how do you know that he needs a new garage?
Well, next, the house he just bought was renovated. Beautiful house.
Yeah, thank you.
It had a huge, another quarter acre lot next to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to buy it.
It was connected to it, and they knocked it down.
Yep.
And I'm just curious.
Yeah, no, I think me and you and my wife are the only people that care about it. But yes, we are going to put a detached garage at the end of the driveway by next winter.
And you're going to have a he shed?
A she shed or a he shed?
A he shed.
Yeah, it's going to be built into the whole thing. So the cars are going to go in there. And it's funny, we were talking about this yesterday. And Gina goes, there's some stuff I want to put in the garage. I don't know if we'll even have the cars in there. I said, excuse me? I said, you think I'm going to spend all that money building a detached garage and not put my car in there? What are you, nuts?
Let me ask you a question. I see you as the ambassador or, the Grand Marshal for the 4th of July Sayville Parade.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that happen in that town, which is great. They shut down the road and everybody goes and celebrates. Hell, I'll do whatever, man. I'm a resident. I'm part of the community now. I'm prideful. I'm all about it, and everybody's so nice there, and neighbors are great. So whatever they ask has to do with the community and the town. I'm all in.
What happens if they come up and ask you, hey, we want to do a softball fundraiser?
If it's in my town, I don't have to drive very far.
Right.
I'd say, yeah, I'll get the team ready, and then I'll stand and watch everybody play.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'll do.
Just trying to figure out where your head's at. That's all.
Let's go to Bruce in Meriden, Connecticut. What's up, Bruce?
How you doing, guys?
Good, man.
I think this is going to be a long season for the Yankees. I really do. If Torres could keep playing like he's playing. I know 10-year-old kids that can throw the ball from shortstop to first base without bouncing the ball.
Yeah, it's a problem right now, Bruce. Now, trying to figure out a different infield for the Yankees and not have Torres at short and get him back to second base where he is better and he has been great is something that I don't think is possible, really. I mean, unless you really want to shake things up and maybe, I don't know, put Gio Urshela over at short and try him because he's such a great defensive player. And then when Voit comes back, you talk about maybe moving DJ over to third. I mean,
Don't forget you have Odor now.
You do. And I don't know how he's going to fit in or where he's going to fit in. But the point is that Gleyber Torres has got to figure it out. The way that this team is constructed, you'd have to do a lot of moving of stuff around.
You know that Gleyber played shortstop since he's been a kid.
I know, but he's forgotten how to do it, apparently. And he was really good over at second base, and now he's not at short.
Just bad throws. Just, the throws don't make any sense to me. I don't get that. And, I bet you Luke Voit probably makes that catch at first base.
But he shouldn't have. Nobody should have to on a routine.
I get it. And, Bruce, I understand where you're coming from. It's only six games. Let's not, get crazy after six games. We all know they're going to lose somewhere around 65 to 70 games. Every team is. We all know that. So now the question is, how are they going to do it? When are they going to do it? And, the way these games are being played and started right now, and, the Mets look like crap. you know, they're not happy with the way that they started their season. And unfortunately, they didn't get a chance to start their season the way that everybody else did, and neither did Washington. So, you know, today's a big day for them. You know, today, you know what I would love to see? If they could just sweep the Marlins and get back on track and get the good feelings going again, get the hitting going. You know, they didn't hit very well down in Philadelphia.
No, of course not.
And it's supposed to be like a bomb, you know, a bomb squad lineup.
Yeah, and here's the problem with a guy like Michael Conforto, too, is looking to get paid. You know, when you're in that situation, bases loaded, two outs, top of the fourth inning, and he got an opportunity to get back into the game after your starter dug you a hole that was seemingly impossible to get out of, you can't strike out looking.
It's kind of, that's the moment. You know, that's the moment that these guys have all got to live up to. Those are the moments where you have to...
When Scott Boris is the agent, he's not looking at any discounts. You want to be that guy? And
that's your moment right there.
Yes, and I'm sorry
and
to...
And there's going to be a lot more moments like
that. I know.
That.
So you better succeed in more of them than you're failing in, or at least get close. I know baseball, you know, 3 out of every 10, you're in the Hall of Fame. I get it. But that right there, when you got that contract looming, I'm sorry. Those are spots that are going to be more highlighted, and the heat's going to be turned up on you.
And it's like game one. Luis Rojas had a chance to go to Dom Smith in a fourth inning and should have went to him.
Yeah.
There should have been no question about that. And then, of course, the next day he hits a home run. But
is Luis Rojas the manager of the Mets next year?
I don't think so. I you know, it's too early again to say. I don't want to overreact to anything, especially with the way this whole thing started for them. And it's an unfortunate thing that they couldn't start their series in Washington. But, man, they have got to get it going again. They got to get a good feeling, get their confidence going again. They got to get their offense rolling. And, you know, spots in games – Or what determines whether or not you're an all-star and you're a $100 million player.
Fred in Union. Hello, Fred. The radio up. Fred! Come on! Rookie mistake. John in Farmingdale. Hello, John.
Hey, yeah, listen, guys. There's a way, if a fire truck sideswipes you, okay? There's numbers on the side of the fire truck,
yeah,
on both sides and in the front and in the rear.
If you're with the car,
see it. Yeah, what if you don't see it, John?
Just call fire department headquarters. They have a list of every run. It's considered an incident. We don't want people chasing fire trucks through red lights going to the scene of a fire, okay? It happens usually when cars are double parked, and it's very infrequent. But please don't tell people to start chasing fire trucks.
No. That's not that. That's not.
Remember, there was a part of the set. I forget where it was, man. Everybody was double parked in a certain. I forget where it was, but it was a main road. We were coming back from a softball game, and I kind of got lost. And everywhere
in the city, you're talking about?
Yeah, I was up in the Bronx somewhere, and everybody was double parked. And it was like a full big road.
Yeah,
and people just double parked everywhere. And I'm like, man, how is a fire truck going to get down this road?
They're not.
I mean, I had the Raptor, and I could barely fit.
Yeah.
It's brutal. We deal with it. And for the most part, a lot of people are very respectful. They do the best they can. But even sometimes the situations are just that people can't even pull over if they wanted to. And then, of course, there's cultural differences. People pull to the left instead of to the right. It's a whole thing. But can we talk about Gary Sanchez?
Go ahead. Yeah, what do you got, John?
Listen. This guy's a dog, okay? He's been a dog for a long time now. I know he could hit the ball 500 miles, and everybody loves that, okay? But when you don't run from first to second base and almost get thrown out on a shot to right field, and also that shot that he hit to left.
Oh, yeah, last night where he's – but now, that ball, John, you know that I've been down on Gary Sanchez if you listen to the show. That ball should have been caught by the Orioles left fielder. I mean, and there's lots of baseball players – that would have done the same thing. Now, it looked terrible for him, especially with his reputation, but that's a ball where I would think 90% of the players in Major League Baseball probably would have done the same thing on the way to first.
I agree. The problem with Gary Sanchez is that he knows he's being watched under a microscope, and that's exactly why he should be hustling on every play, and he should be getting down on every pitch in the dirt. These guys have to pitch into the dirt in the major leagues. They can't be restricted to the strike zone. A pitch has to go into the dirt. Gerrit Cole and all the rest of these guys have to be able to throw a splitter into the dirt, and they have to rely on their catcher to block the ball. This guy's young. If he can't do it, make way for the other guy, and, they have to widen the strike zone that way.
Yeah, no, thanks, John. Yeah, I mean, that is a good point. I mean, I was defending him. I'm trying to be fair because lots of guys would have done the same thing with that line drive to left. But he is the guy that you have said has got the most pressure on him out of anybody in the Yankees. He has to be that other 10%. He can't be the 90% of major leaguers that are going to sort of dog it because they think the ball is going to be caught on a line drive.
At one point in time, he could have been.
But right now, he's got to run his ass off.
He's got to. Like I told you, he has a lot of pressure on him coming back here. And, you know, thus far, he's gotten off to a decent start.
Yeah.
And it's okay.
Yep.
But, you know, you just want to shake the kid. You know, you just want to grab him and you just want to go, come on.
I mean, you got so much potential.
I mean, think about how much money he would be worth if he just – and, you know, they all say it. He works hard. He cares. You know, but sometimes it doesn't look that way to the fan, to a guy like John or to you. You know, you're saying to yourself, what is he doing?
Yeah.
You just want to shake him. What are you doing? And never know what you're doing.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.